But tonight I know that I'm going to be preaching to the choir, and I'm not exactly sure where that term came from, but that means the most dedicated and, of course, the most committed people. But this message needs to be preached to the choir. The ones that come on Sunday night and the ones that come on Wednesday night truly are the core people of the church. And we're going to be looking at something tonight that will speak to every one of us. It's going to speak especially to me, and then, like I said, to every one of us here. So let's have a word of prayer and get into the message. Father, we come before you. And truly, we come with grateful hearts. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for the salvation that you brought to us, and the eternal life that you've given us, the abundant life that we have in Jesus Christ, and all of the benefits that come with the eternal life that you've given us. We thank you so much for this church and for these people and for your spirit that meets with us here. And Father, we just thank you that we have the opportunity and the privilege to come together to worship you and to hear your word taught and preached. And I just pray tonight that your hand would be upon me, that your anointing would be upon me, and that you empower me to speak the words that you've given me, and that your anointing would be upon the words that I speak, and that it would truly penetrate our hearts, and that it would help us to meditate and to ponder the life that we're living for you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to start off tonight with a probing question, and I really want you to think about this. And of course, I don't want you to answer it out loud, but it is certainly a question that you need to ask yourself in your heart, and you need to be very sure of the answer. And that question is, what if the spiritual leadership of Centerpoint was completely up to you? What if the spiritual leadership of Centerpoint was completely up to you? What kind of shape would we be in spiritually? That is a probing question, isn't it? That is a very deep question. And if you stop to think about it, if everyone was following your example and doing just what you're doing, what kind of shape would we be in? Well, folks, we should be able to make the statement that if I was the spiritual leader, the church would be in good shape. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I don't do everything right. And I know that I am human. I know that I fail from time to time. But we need to be living a life that is an example. If you'll remember a couple weeks ago, I preached on what is your legacy. What is the example that you're setting for your family, for your church, for your community, and those around you? Because that is one that will really make you think about the life that you're living. In Philippians 4:9, Paul put it this way. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let me read that again, because that is a big statement. He said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Paul said, if you will just follow my example, God will be well pleased with you. That is a massive statement. Think of the implications there. Paul saying, you're supposed to be following Christ. But if that's too big of a goal for you, just follow me. Just do what I'm doing, and God will be well pleased with you. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, can we say the very same thing that Paul just said? One version, one translation of that verse is, I urge you, and I implore you to be imitators of me. Another one says, follow my example and do as I do. Again, that's an overwhelming statement. To think that Paul is inviting these folks to imitate him, to follow his example, and God would be pleased with them. And we're going to see why that would be here in just a moment. But before we do that, let's look at what an imitator is. If you've got kids, you know exactly what an imitator is. You've seen boys that tried to follow in their dad's footprints out in the snow. And the child may not be big enough to stretch that far with his legs, but he's given it everything he's got. I can remember when I was growing up, my dad, of course, was like 6'1", 6'2", and had pretty good long legs. And it was difficult. In fact, I had to kind of jump to get from one footprint to the other. But I was striving as hard as I could to imitate my dad. We see daughters that imitate their mothers. They get in the kitchen, and they may have their own little play kitchen, but they're in there imitating, acting like they are the mother, and they're imitating their mother and acting like they're cooking and taking care of the house and doing all the things that mothers do. They imitate us. Even actors and actresses that are going to be portraying a real person in a movie, they go and they study that person in depth. They want to be able to portray them just as closely as they possibly can. They study their mannerisms. They study how they think. They study how they act and how they react. They study how they respond to people. They do everything they can to get the very heart and mind of that person into their own personality and into their own mind, so they will know exactly how to imitate that person. And I've actually seen some people in movies, and you probably have too, that were so good that if you had the real person and the actor side by side, it would be hard to tell who was who. Well, we as Christians are supposed to be so much imitating Jesus Christ that it's hard to tell who's who. And Jesus told the disciples that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he also tells us that we are to imitate him so people will see him in us. Now, Paul, going back to him, was telling the people here that I want you to imitate me. And the reason that Paul could say that is that Paul was imitating God. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote these words. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We just talked about how children imitate their parents. We are to imitate God. Paul was imitating God. If there was anybody on this earth that has ever imitated God almost perfectly, of course we know Jesus Christ did, but other than Jesus Christ, Paul would have to be the one. His faith was strong. His prayer life was strong. His ministry was strong. He did everything the way that he knew that Jesus Christ would do it if Jesus was in that same situation. We've heard that the slogan, "What would Jesus do?" We need to ask ourselves that. Even to this day, my dad's been gone for 12 years, and I still ask myself, okay, how would Dad handle this situation? I still want to imitate my dad because of the example he set. And we need to be imitators. In that verse that we read, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," that word "followers" is a very interesting word. It means to run swiftly after in order to catch something. It also means to seek eagerly with the intentions of acquiring it. In other words, you know, we kind of think of followers as just kind of lagging behind somebody. That's not a true follower. A follower is somebody that seeks eagerly to be just like the person they're following. Now, I heard an extreme case, and this is really extreme, it was several years ago, but I saw a lady on one of those crazy documentaries you see on TV. She wanted to be so much like Barbie doll. That's not really somebody you want to imitate, I wouldn't think. But she had spent millions of dollars on surgeries to get her body and her face looking just like Barbie. Well, like I said, that's extreme. But folks, if we spend a lot of time in the Word and in prayer and in meditation and seeking God, we're going to start to look and act just like God. I had a point. I'm going to save that for just a little while, but let's look real quick at some of the things that we should be following. And this, if we follow these things, It's going to make us be a whole lot more like God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it tells us to follow after things that make us want to do right. And then it tells us to pursue faith and love and peace and the companion of those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. Now, if we just pursue those four things, we would be following after God. We would be imitating Him in a very good way. And again, the things that we're supposed to run after, the things that we're supposed to pursue are faith. How do you pursue faith? Well, folks, there's only one way to get faith. That's by spending time in the Word. We're supposed to be pursuing love. How do you pursue love? You become more like God because God is love. And we don't need to be seeking God's hands. We need to be seeking God's face. In other words, don't be seeking the things that God can do for us, but be seeking Him. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things that you're chasing after, God will automatically give you those. So we need to make sure of what we're chasing there. And it tells us to pursue peace. Well, the only real peace there is in Jesus Christ. So we need to be pursuing that and imitating Him and following Him in that. And then it says, and enjoying the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Folks, that is so important. You need to look around you and see who your companions are, who your friends are, who your buddies are. And you may need to make some changes. If they are not people who call on the Lord with a pure heart, you do not need to be associating with them very much at all. Because they're either going to be lifting you up or they're going to be dragging you down. And the best way that we can make sure that we are setting a great example for others is if we are pursuing Christ and His ways. If we are imitating Him. Now, this is the point that I wanted to make earlier, so let me make it here. For us to imitate Christ is not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to make a decision to do some things differently than you're now doing. If your Bible study is not what it should be, then you're going to have to change some things to make sure that you have time for Bible study. If your prayer life is not what it should be, you may have to get up 15 to 20 minutes earlier to get your prayer life where it needs to be. And all of the different areas, we have to make a decision to act like God. Now, that term even just sounds strange, doesn't it? I can't act like God. Well, yes, you can. If you couldn't, God would never tell us to imitate Him. But He did exactly that. He said, be ye followers or imitators of Me as dear children. So God wants us to imitate Him. And to do that, we are going to have to be constantly in the process of becoming more like Him. And in fact, I like the way one scholar kind of described Ephesians 5:1. He said, be constantly in the process of becoming more like God. So you're not going to get that way all at once. It's going to be a continual process, making it your aim to act like Him, to duplicate Him, and to exactly copy Him in every area of your life. So for us to be setting the example that we need to be setting for everyone else, we are going to have to make a decision to become more God-like. You know, we use that word Christian, which means Christ-like, and we really need to make sure that we are living Christ-like in every area of our life. So let's go back to the original question for just a moment. What if the spiritual leadership of Centerpoint was completely up to you? What kind of shape would we be in? Each and every one of us need to live in such a manner that we could encourage people to imitate us. You know, they always say the pastor and his wife and the deacons live in this glass bubble. Folks, we all live in a glass bubble. People are watching us. They are imitating us. We are setting an example for them, whether we realize it or whether we don't. And we need to make sure that we are living a life that God would be pleased with, and that we could encourage others to follow our example. I realize as the pastor that I have the primary responsibility of setting the spiritual example. But in reality, all of us are part of the spiritual leadership of this church. If you're a teacher, your students are watching you. I still think back to my Sunday school teachers that I had, and I praise God that I had some really good ones, and I believe we've got some good ones here. But we need to make sure that we understand the kids are watching us. If you're a board member, whether it's a deacon or a trustee or a finance committee or any kind of the boards and committees that we have, you are a part of the spiritual leadership of this church. Even if you want to just call yourself an active member, there are still people who are watching you and imitating you. So in reality, all of us have a part of the responsibility of the spiritual, well-being of this church. And we need to make sure that we are imitating Christ and that we are living a life worthy of others imitating us. And we've heard the slogan, "You're the only Bible that some people will ever read." And folks, that is so true. And you've heard me say it before, that when you go to witness to people, sometimes they'll say, "Well, I'm just as good as old so-and-so in your church." That should never be said. Unfortunately, I've never heard that said here at Centerpoint. But it should never be said. Unless we're living just a really high moral life and they're meeting that, but usually they're being critical of somebody in the church when they make that statement. But we need to understand that all of us have a responsibility to those around us, and we should be able to say, just like Paul, if you'll follow my example, God will be pleased with you. And that, I understand that the gravity of that statement, but folks, we're talking about people's souls and their eternal well-being. And God expects us to live just as close to Him as the Apostle Paul did, just as close to Him as Peter did, or any of the other great apostles back then. He does not expect anything less from us. In fact, He probably expects more from us because we now have the written New Testament that gives us the examples of how we should live. Tonight, I really want you to look at your life. And not only just the kids in your life, but the others in the church. And ask yourself, do I want people around me following my example? Well, the good news is, if you're not happy with the example you're setting, you can change that today. If you remember, Paul used to be just as horrible and mean and ugly, if you want to use that word, as they can get. Right. And he turned around and literally changed the world for Christ, but he had to make a decision to do that. Right. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I come before you and I thank you so much for the examples that you've given us in your word. People like Paul, and people like Peter, and like John, and all of the others that truly lived godly lives, lives that they could tell people, if you will just follow my example, God will be pleased with you. And Father, I thank you for the examples that I've had in my own life. The list is way too large for us to start listing every individual. But Father, I also understand that people are looking at us and looking at me specifically. And they're imitating me one way or the other, for good or for the bad. And God, I pray that you'd help me and help each and every one in this congregation to just take inventory and to analyze our lives to see if we are truly living the life we need to live so that we can be setting an example for others to follow, that they too would live closer to the precepts that you've designed for us to live by. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.